Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 1st, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Stocks rally as U.S. officials are said to prepare a final trade deal with China.
Tesla shares fall as Elon Musk warns of a first quarter loss.
Gap shares surge on a spinoff of Old Navy.
And New York officials make a last-ditch effort to bring back Amazon.
President Trump reportedly ordered to have security clearance for his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Plus, former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen will return to Capitol Hill. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks blew a lead, lost at the Garden to Cleveland. The Islanders beat their former star John Tavares in Toronto. St. John's lost to Xavier.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at seic.com/IMS.
Stocks ending the week on a positive note, 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 16 points this morning. Dow futures are up 157. NASDAQ futures up 52. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 25 cents to $57.46 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5%. Down $6.70 to $13.09.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.57. The yen, 111.92. Data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
Karen, the lift in stocks we're seeing comes in part on optimism over a trade deal between the U.S. and China. Details from Bloomberg's Enda Curran in Hong Kong.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. All indications are now that the US and China are heading towards a trade agreement. Our colleagues in Washington are reporting that there will be a summit, perhaps as soon as mid-March, between leaders of the two countries. Now, of course, we don't have the final details yet on what that agreement will look like. And skeptics will say to you, we are a long way from resolving some of the much bigger structural concerns that both sides have. But nonetheless, at the same time, it's clear that the trade truce at the very least is being extended and both sides are now pushing towards a trade agreement. In Hong Kong, I'm Enda Curran for Bloomberg Daybreak.
And to thank you, the trade optimism and news that MSCI would boost the weighting of China-listed shares in its benchmark indexes helped fuel a rally in Asia. We get that story from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Well, that increase will occur in three stages and could see billions of dollars flow into one of the world's most volatile stock markets, which rallied 15% in US dollar terms in February. Starting March, also on the front foot, the CSI 300 closed 2% higher on Friday to 3,749 points. Also boosting sentiment was a better-than-expected read on the Taishin PMI gauge for February, which sapped safe haven bids, sending the yen lower and Japanese equities higher. The Nikkei gained 1% to 21,602 points in Tokyo. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Juliet, we're seeing stocks rise in Europe as well as we begin a new trading month. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. After a positive start to March for Asia, European equities also trading higher today with the Stoxx 600 index up 0.6%. A host of positive trade headlines on the Bloomberg helping boost sentiment. And some relief today for shareholders in the world's biggest advertising company, WPP shares up more than 7% after it reported results slightly ahead of estimates. After a year of losing business in North America, its biggest region, WPP indicated today that the worst may now be over by the second half of this year. And within the last few minutes, an economic update for Europe. Euro area inflation accelerating to 1.5%. The core rate dropping to 1.0%. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Tesla's Elon Musk is delivering on one big promise while failing short on another. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's John Tucker.
And good morning, Karen. The chief executive officer now says Tesla probably won't post a profit in the first quarter. That contradicts several of his past predictions. At the same time, Musk announced the long-awaited cheaper Model 3, along with a plan to trim costs by closing stores and cutting more jobs. Musk says he'll deliver the $35,000 version of the Model 3 for the first time almost 3 years after the company started taking orders. The company's going to shift to online-only ordering to allow it to lower prices. The shares are down almost 4% pre-market. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We're going to be getting more automakers' February sales reports today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg News estimate the annualized rate of total car and light truck deliveries slowed to around 16.7 million last month. The rate was 17.1 million in February of last year. But LMC Automotive says a trend likely continued, with deliveries to rental companies and other fleet customers offsetting weaker demand from individual consumers. Researchers at LMC expect to hear that retail vehicle sales declined for a third time in 4 months. An analyst at Consumer Edge Research says buyer incentives could be back in the spring when truck wars heat up and more consumers come out to shop. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. New York's Amazon dreams are not dead yet. Executives and politicians have signed an open letter to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, urging him to reconsider his decision to give up on putting part of the company's second headquarters here. They say that Governor Andrew Cuomo will take personal responsibility to get the state's approval. Here's Cuomo speaking yesterday.
I've had many conversations with Amazon. I hope that they reconsider. Up until now, we haven't seen any change in their position.
Amazon killed the deal after an angry backlash from some New York politicians and community leaders.
Shares of Gap are soaring 24% in pre-market trading. The clothing retailer is making what some see as a desperate move, spinning off the Old Navy discount chain. Old Navy's robust sales have been propping up Gap for years. The remaining company will consist of the Gap brand, Banana Republic, Athletic, and a couple of lesser-known brands.
Uber in advanced talks to buy its Dubai-based rival Careem Networks. Bloomberg has learned the companies may announce a cash and stock transaction in the coming weeks that values Careem at about $3 billion. A deal would expand Uber's ride-hailing operations in the Middle East. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street now. Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump is said to have ordered then-Chief of Staff John Kelly to grant his son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner a top-secret security clearance last year. That's according to the New York Times. Kelly and then-White House counsel Don McGahn both wrote contemporaneous internal memos after intelligence officials had concerns about the clearance. Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen spent 3 days before Congress this week, and there is another date scheduled. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The latest, Cohen in front of the House Intelligence Committee, Chair Adam Schiff saying they were able to follow up on a lot of information.
I think we all feel it was a very productive interview where he was able to shed light on a lot of issues that are very core to our investigation. And we were able to drill down in great detail.
He says Cohen will be back March 6th in San Francisco. I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in says his government plans to discuss with the U.S. the possibility of restarting joint inter-Korean economic projects to induce nuclear disarmament from North Korea. President Trump yesterday left nuclear summit talks with North Korea's Kim Jong-un in Vietnam with no deal. President Trump says Kim asked the U.S. to lift all sanctions before completely denuclearizing, but North Korean Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho, through a translator, says they asked only for partial sanction removal in return for partial dismantling, and then promised to fully denuclearize.
We will permanently and completely dismantle all the nuclear material production facilities in the Nyongbin area, including plutonium and uranium, in the presence of U.S. experts and by the joint work of technicians from both countries.
Israel's attorney general is recommending charges against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for bribery, breach of trust, and fraud. Bloomberg's Michael Arnold is in Tel Aviv.
The draft indictment paints a dire picture, alleging that Netanyahu helped pass regulation benefiting the country's biggest telecom, controlled by his personal friend, in exchange for positive press coverage. The Attorney General also recommends criminal charges in two other cases, in part for gifts of cigars and champagne Netanyahu allegedly received for helping friends with their business issues. Netanyahu denies wrongdoing and says he's the victim of a witch hunt by left-wing opponents who can't beat him at the ballot box. In Tel Aviv, Michael Arnold, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Phillies were seen all along as the favorites to land Bryce Harper, but it took 4 months. The feeling was Harper wasn't crazy about going to Philadelphia, where the fans have notoriously been tough on star athletes. But in the end, he's not only going to Philly, he's going there very likely until 2032. It's a record 13-year contract for $330 million. And unlike the Manny Machado deal in San Diego, there are no opt-outs and there's a full no-trade clause. His teammate in Philly will be pitcher Aaron Nola. His reaction?
Seriously? Like that kind of reaction. But when we found out it's true, it's really exciting. We're really glad to welcome him to our clubhouse. I think all of Philadelphia is really happy right now.
Harper will be facing his old team, Washington, 19 times a season. Islander fans had to enjoy this one. Back at the Coliseum, a 6-1 win to move the Isles back into sole possession of first place. So the win came against John Tavares. His first trip back, he was the Islander star and was steadfast that he had no desire to leave as a free agent. Then he left for Toronto. He was booed all night long.
Of course, there's a lot of emotions that go through you, but at the same time, I mean, I can only control what I can control, and I just try to be open and honest with my decision. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. I just go out there and play hockey and try to help the Maple Leafs.
The Garden, same old Knicks. They had a big lead, seemed headed for a third straight win. Cleveland roared back to win 125-118. St. John's lost at home to Xavier. We're at the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. And join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. And we'll hear from a four-time Olympian in ice hockey who now runs her own sports market research firm. Angela Ruggiero, co-founder and managing partner at the Sports Innovation Lab, joins us on Bloomberg Business of Sports, airing tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. You can always download the podcast on iTunes. Futures pointing to a higher open on this Friday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are ending the week on a positive note as the latest economic data from China offers some reassurance to investors concerned about the global growth outlook. Treasuries are extending a decline, the dollar pushing higher for a third day. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 16 points, Dow futures up 153, NASDAQ futures up 50, the DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds, yield 2.72%, yield on the 2-year 2.52%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 10 cents to $57.32 a barrel, COMEX gold is down 0.4% on $5.80 to $13.10.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1363, and the yen, 111.86. A busy day for economic data, personal income and spending out at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 10, we get a look at manufacturing from the Institute for Supply Management, as well as consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The New York Times is reporting President Trump ordered his then chief of staff, John Kelly, last year to grant his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, a top secret security clearance. President Trump's decision troubled Kelly to the point where he wrote an internal memo along with then White House counsel at the time, Don McGahn. President Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, will return next week for more testimony before the House Intelligence Committee. A strong earthquake has struck southern Peru. The preliminary 7.1 magnitude quake was centered about 16 miles northeast of Azingaro. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Warriors. In the NHL, the Islanders won along with the Bruins. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we end the week and start a new month with Jeffrey Yu, Chief Investment Officer at UBS. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us, Jeff. And I can't count the number of headline moves we've seen on U.S.-China trade negotiations. What to make of this report that the U.S. is preparing a final deal that could be signed in weeks?
Well, the first thing, perhaps, is markets should stop moving on this stuff because if it's one direction in one day and another direction in the other. And I say this with all seriousness because I think we really should take a step back and just think, you know, how much this actually matters, you know, for the world economy, the U.S. economy, you know, given the U.S. is a consumption-driven society and, you know, China's now, you know, desperately trying to rebalance, you know, shift more towards the domestic side of things. I think politically, you know, what this says for global trade and the importance of trade, you know, that certainly is a positive. And that shouldn't be scoffed at. But overall, you know, should we just move on from this? But again, to answer your question, net-net, I think it's in the interest of both sides to get a deal. They're moving towards a deal, so we'll just take it at that.
So then you're not thinking that there is going to be real structural change coming out of this deal, you know, whatever it looks like?
I mean, the different people will define structural change in different ways. So if the president is able to actually enact, you know, the structural change and just enforce upon China structural change that all of us in markets have been looking for over the last few years or so, you know, then all credit to him, right? You know, that's something that could benefit everyone in terms of, you know, IP protection, in terms of greater market access, liberalization, enforcement, and things like that. But at this point, it's highly doubtful, you know, whether China will be able to go that far. And even if China wants to go that in direction, it's a question of going on its own terms, you know, rather than be seen as having terms imposed on it, because, you know, that draws some relatively troubling historical parallels.
Yeah, and as you know, as we continue to follow these negotiations, we're also getting new insights into the Chinese economy, and the latest word on manufacturing continues to show contraction, though perhaps not quite as deep as might have been thought. How desperate now is China, or do you see China as desperate to strike an agreement to shore up its economy?
Yeah. So again, you know, we have to ask the question, how important is trade, you know, for the economy outright? Because as we know, you know, China is shifting towards consumption-driven economy and investment still very strong, of course. I think China needs trade deals to stabilize everything, but does it actually need trade to reflate the economy? So I think those are two separate things. China can reflate the economy and, you know, get things back on track by using domestic measures, and, you know, that's where, independent of what's happening in trade, the National People's Congress, which opens soon, the first half of March, you know, that's going to be more important, set the scene for the fiscal outlook and set the scene for the domestic investment outlook. So that's, I think, what markets will be taking their cue from for the next 2 weeks, you know, rather than trade talks.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think the Chinese government could do beyond what it has done already? I mean, it's injected a lot of liquidity into its market already, hasn't it?
So here's where we separate monetary policy to fiscal policy, right? Yes, so the monetary side, that's already set the tone. You know, one of the Bloomberg reports I remember from a few weeks ago was the proposed budget deficit for this year is only going to be 2.8%. I mean, these are numbers would make Berlin happy, right? So, you know, China has a lot of fiscal capacity domestically. So a lot of questions right now whether China can actually do a bit more on the fiscal side. China's hinted at that, but more on the targeted note. So, you know, how is that going to change things? Will there be a stronger than expected infrastructure drive? All of that, I think, is in play.
In our last minute or so here, I want to get your take on what's happening in Europe as well. We just got the latest euro area inflation print, 1.5%. What does that mean for the policy path going forward in the eurozone?
So again, you know, that's well below the price stability mandate at or just below 2% that the ECB has. You know, we've already pushed back our view for rate hikes to next year. I don't think expectations on that are going to shift anytime soon. I wouldn't be too negative on the eurozone. However, it's just even Stevens at this point. So our investment outlook for eurozone is own a high quality basket of, you know, dividend yielding stocks. Cash rates are at zero or negative. Just clip the coupon, own the dividend, and then just go on from there. There's a lot of political risk in Europe that we need to navigate for this year.
Yeah, a lot of political risk, I would imagine, not the least of which being the outcome of Brexit.
Yeah. Well, your guess is as good as mine on that, right? So it's another thing that changes from day to day and affects sterling. So we're just lining up for the series of parliamentary votes between the 12th and the 14th, right? So the first one is whether to accept the deal. If that's not accepted, you know, whether the country wants to leave with no deal, and if the country doesn't want to leave with no deal, you know, then an extension is going to come through. So I think the whips around the House of Commons right now, they're just trying to tally up votes. You know, at this point, our base case is no hard Brexit. There will be an orderly departure. Mm-hmm. But who knows? There might be more twists and turns to come.
Who knows, indeed. Jeffrey Yu, Chief Investment Officer at UBS. Thanks, as always. Enjoy the weekend. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world as we close out the week and begin a new trading month. Bloomberg News has learned U.S. officials are preparing a final trade deal that President Donald Trump and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping could sign in weeks.
And also boosting stocks, some positive signs of economic growth out of Asia. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Sentiment has been weak in the first quarter. Japan's PMI dropped to 48.9, while Thailand and Malaysia also worsened. But there are some signs of a bottoming out. The Caixin China PMI came in at 49.9, and that was better than a Bloomberg estimate of 48.5. New orders rose versus the prior month, and output was up to 50.2 versus 48.1 in January. Economist Trinh Nguyen at Natixis says the silver lining here is that new orders are rebounding, primarily driven by domestic demand. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And one other note, in Asia, MSCI will expand the weighting of China-listed shares in benchmark indexes tracked by global investors.
Tesla shares are down 4% in early trading. Elon Musk warns his company probably won't post a profit in the first quarter. He made those remarks while announcing Tesla will finally start building its $35,000 version of the Model 3 sedan. Bloomberg's Emily Chang has more from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The new, cheaper version of the Model 3 will be available to buy online only. And so Tesla will be closing most of its brick-and-mortar stores around the world. Following the announcement, CEO Elon Musk told reporters this move, plus a reduction in headcount, is the only way he can make cheaper cars. He also stated he does not expect Tesla to be profitable in the first quarter, but says profitability in the second quarter is likely. In San Francisco, I'm Emily Chang, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Emily, thank you. Shares of Gap are soaring. They're up almost 22% in early trading. The retailer announcing plans to spin off its better-performing Old Navy brand into its own public company.
And Euro area factories suffered their biggest drop in orders in almost 6 years in February amid mounting concern over trade tariffs and Brexit.
And right now, S&P futures are higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 16 points. Dow futures up 159. NASDAQ futures up 50. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.72%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% at $57.29 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says Felix Sater will appear at a public hearing March 14th to testify about President Donald Trump's effort to build a skyscraper in Russia. Sater, a Russian-born executive who had worked for the Trump Organization, is a figure in probes into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. He's an associate of Michael Cohen, President Donald Trump's former lawyer, who testified in private before Schiff's panel yesterday. And Schiff says they want Cohen to come back.
We had a long day, but it wasn't a long enough day. And we very much appreciate Mr. Cohen's cooperation. He has obviously had three very long days. He'll be returning on March 6th for additional testimony.
Cohen also testified Tuesday and Wednesday before other congressional committees. The New York Times reports President Trump ordered his then chief of staff, John Kelly, to grant son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner a top secret security clearance. This despite concerns last year from intelligence officials and the White House's top lawyer. According to the report, Kelly and White House counsel at the time, Don McGahn, wrote internal memos about their concerns. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un vowed to meet again with President Trump to continue nuclear negotiations after a two-day summit between the leaders collapsed yesterday amid disagreement over sanctions relief and conflicting accounts of Pyongyang's demands. North Korean Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho, through a translator, says they asked only for partial sanction removal in return for verified partial dismantling.
This proposal was the biggest denuclearization measure we could take at the present stage in relation to the current level of confidence between the DPRK and the United States.
Kim expressed appreciation for President Trump's active efforts toward results and called the summit talks productive. Israel's attorney general is recommending charges against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for bribery, breach of trust, and fraud. Netanyahu was accused of giving political favors for lavish gifts he received from wealthy donors, including a Hollywood producer. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Bryce Harper free agent saga is finally over. After 4 months, he's moving up north a little. 7 years in Washington and now landing in Philadelphia with a record 13-year contract. He'll be 39 when it ends. It's worth $330 million. Harper, of course, entered baseball with great fanfare, has been an MVP, but batted only .249 last season. The Phillies' fourth game of the season is in Washington. He'll be facing his old team 19 times a year, seemingly until 2032. Back to reality for the Knicks, hosting Cleveland, a team just as bad as them. Looked like they were on their way to a third straight win, up 12 going to the fourth quarter. The Cavs won the fourth, 40-21, won the game 125-118. Coach David Fizdale says his Knicks, a team that recently lost 18 games in a row, got overconfident.
Totally let our foot off the gas. Got casual. We got up 10 there and decided that we weren't going to get back on defense. And Colin Sexton wasn't done coming at us. He had something more to say about the game. And so I thought we got a little cool. I thought we got a little full of ourselves thinking that we had the game. And it was still a whole lot of time left in that game. And they made us pay for it. Credit to them.
At the Coliseum, Islanders crushed Toronto 6-1. Sweet win came against their former star, John Tavares, who had maintained he wanted to remain with them and then left via free agency for the Maple Leafs. Islander fans booed him continually.
Well, obviously, I expected it was coming. So, you know, no one's walked in my shoes. So I know that. And I just tried to be open and honest. And obviously, no one has to like my decision. But I just tried to explain what it is and how I got to that point. So, you know, it is what it is. I made my decision. I've moved forward. So just kind of trying to go out there and play.
St. John's lost at home to Xavier 84-73 with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashow with Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on the global outlook for automobiles. David Welch, Bloomberg's Detroit bureau chief, wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week and described one industry having a major impact on car makers.
We have Uber, Lyft, companies that give people other ways to get around that are sort of eating at the traditional model of selling cars to people who just drive them every day.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report, brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping, and afternoon tea. Daily nonstop flights to the U.K. in partnership with Delta Airlines. Now here's Bloomberg's Ed Khoury.
Morning, Nathan. The CEOs of Morgan Stanley and MasterCard, along with former Mayor David Dinkins, have signed an open letter to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. It urges him to reconsider building part of the retail giant's second headquarters in Long Island City. The letter says Governor Cuomo will take personal responsibility for the project's state approval. Well, if it's approved by the state of New Jersey, New Jersey Natural Gas plans to spend $507 million over 5 years on its delivery and IT systems. That would result in the typical residential customer seeing a bill increase of about $18. Connecticut could save $174 to $260 million a year if it adopts a strong culture of competitive bidding, according to the head of the State Contracting Standards Board. Lawrence Fox says the state has been waiving off competitive bidding for projects about 70% of the time. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Lyft is pulling ahead of Uber when it comes to launching an initial public offering.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on WJFK 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., I'm talking about quarterly results from Northern Virginia-based TV station owner Tegna.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Southwest Airlines in focus on social media speculation that Berkshire Hathaway is considering a bid.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Jaguar Land Rover as India's Tata Group is set to explore options for the struggling carmaker.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WLW in Cincinnati, I'm reporting Procter & Gamble is just one of the consumer products companies being hit by a shortage of truck drivers.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Toyota is turning its gaze to China for expansion.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Morning pointing to a higher open on Wall Street with S&P futures up 15 and a half, Dow futures up 154 points, NASDAQ futures up 48. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth tax advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are ending the week on a positive note as the latest economic data from China offers some reassurance to investors concerned about the global growth outlook. Treasuries extending a decline and the dollar pushing higher for a third day. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 16 points this morning. Dow futures up 160. NASDAQ futures up 50. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 5 cents to $57.27 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.20 to $13.10.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1374, and the yen, 111.88. A busy day for economic data, personal income and spending at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 10, we get a look at manufacturing from the Institute for Supply Management, as well as consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says Russian-born executive Felix Sater will appear at a public hearing March 14th to testify about President Trump's effort to build a skyscraper in Russia. Meanwhile, after appearing yesterday, former Trump attorney Michael Cohen will return next week for more testimony before the committee. The New York Times reports President Trump ordered his then chief of staff, John Kelly, to grant son-in-law and advisor Jared Kushner a top secret security clearance. And there's breaking news now concerning Russia and Pakistan. Pakistani officials say they will bring the Indian pilot captured from the downed plane to the border crossing with India for handover. In sports, in the NHL, we have the Islanders, who won along with the Bruins. NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Warriors. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. That is the time we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Edward Evans joins us this Friday morning from our London bureau. So, Ed, Tesla has finally delivered on the low-priced Model 3, and Liam Denning writes, why aren't you thrilled?
Should we detect a hint of sarcasm there?
It's finally here. The $35,000 Model 3 went on sale on Thursday. And this has a big significance for the company. It's supposed to be the breakout moment from becoming a Silicon Valley toy to electrified vehicles for the masses. So why did the stock drop in after hours trading? Well, this crowning moment came with more than a hint of gamble. And the context here is absolutely crucial. Just a month ago, Elon Musk was telling analysts that he expected to introduce this model sometime in the middle of the year. Clearly, the timetable has accelerated. But how do you do that profitably? A clue comes in the form of other announcements made on Thursday. Musk effectively downgraded his earlier optimism about Tesla eking out a profit in the first quarter. The real bombshell, however, was the news that Tesla will switch global sales to an online-only model. So many of the company's rather sleek stores are going to close. Again, something radical, intriguing about this, but the jury's out on just how many people are going to order a $35,000 car over their phone. But still... And also, you've got job cuts as well. Only a month ago, Musk was boasting that Tesla had opened 27 new stores and service locations. But again, we've got a major pivot in the space of a few weeks. Add to all this a tight capital expenditure budget, and it all adds up to a dissonance between the narrative on one side of unquenchable demand and growth supporting the valuation and what looks to be an all-out effort to boost sales in short order and slash the cost base.
Autos seem to be a theme for Bloomberg Opinion this morning. Ed Anjani Trivedi writes this morning, blame hubris for Jaguar Land Rover's misfire. The Tata Group's got a decision to make.
Yeah, the mighty have fallen. Tata is exploring options for Jaguar Land Rover. May include a stake sale or finding a venture partner to jointly develop cars and lower costs, according to Bloomberg News. Now, at the rate that Jaguar Land Rover was bleeding cash and eroding value, Tata had very few options but to look outside for a solution. How did it get here? A complete lack of fiscal prudence in recent years, a one-track focus on investing billions of pounds in technologies that actually haven't returned much, and a flawed and failed China strategy. The numbers are pretty grim. Free cash flows in the red, debt is climbing, and yet the company still couldn't hold back on its hubris. It continued to spend relentlessly on future cars, future projects, electric cars and batteries. And last quarter, it took a £3.1 billion impairment charge. The money isn't coming in as fast as it's going out. Now, with no turnaround in sight and the unit threatening to eat away any value created at its Indian parent, it's cornered. And that we'll see what happens. Investors have been cheering the news today, sending Tata Motors shares up 3.7%. It's understandable why they're celebrating, but they should also hope there's a solution here on the table and soon.
Well, I can't let you go without talking about Brexit. A fascinating piece this morning from Lionel Laurent on how Britain managed to unite the usually fractious Eurozone against it.
Yeah, Europe can't agree on many things. France and Italy are at diplomatic loggerheads. Viktor Orban is painting the EU as a menace to society. And Ireland's tax regime is under fire from the European Commission. But on one thing, all 27 member states have stuck together, and that is in the Brexit talks with the UK. All of this matters because, as Theresa May considers requesting a possible delay to Brexit. Given that she would need to have the unanimous support of all the other EU leaders, there will be strings attached to this. And May has used up a lot of goodwill over the past 2 years. She kicked off negotiations with, frankly, hardball tactics, misjudged Britain's ability to extract trade terms with the EU that were just as good as being a member, and pressed other leaders to sign off on a draft deal in November that she herself has undermined since. Her January promise to return to Brussels and renegotiate the Irish backstop she'd only just agreed enraged many in the capital. So watch out now in the few months. If May takes negotiations to another no-deal cliff edge, her isolation may prove fatal to her own political career.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Edward Evans joining us from London. Ed, thanks as always. You can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg Terminal customers, just type OPINGO on the search bar. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It is time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Workers who make less than $35,000 a year will be eligible for overtime pay. Bloomberg Law has learned the long-awaited proposal will soon be unveiled by the Labor Department. The opioid crisis is still on House Democrats' crowded health agenda. Key House Democrats say they will pursue new legislation to deal with the deadly epidemic as well as look at how existing funds are being spent. And the United Nations Green Climate Fund has approved payments of nearly $100 million to Brazil for the work it's done to reduce deforestation in the Amazon in recent years.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. And now other legal news we're watching this morning. Michael Cohen unfurled a series of damaging accusations against his former boss, Donald Trump, in testimony before Congress this week, including assertions that may pose additional legal peril for the president. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Doom Grosso speaks to Bloomberg News legal reporter Andrew Harris.
Andrew, let's start with Michael Cohen saying that there were substantial information that he would have to give and saying that there was a case in the Southern District. Is that something that President Trump should be concerned about?
Well, I think, June, I think it would be hard for him not to be concerned. Obviously, there's a something under a large sheet up in the Southern District of New York. Only the prosecutors there know what they're looking at. Michael Cohen may have more information on that than any of us. But sure, until you know what that is when the cover gets ripped away, I think it's right for the president to be concerned.
There was so much that is possible from this. The president, he said, may have committed crimes, including campaign violations, insurance fraud, bank fraud. What struck you as possibly the most damaging to Trump?
Well, interestingly, the president said and noted that Michael Cohen didn't give any endorsement to collusion, but clearly the hush money payment that the president's organization CFO Alan Weisselberg may have been aware of. Clearly, the phone call from Roger Stone about information to come from WikiLeaks. And clearly, of course, the perhaps opportunistic inflating or deflating the president's net worth, depending on who he was trying to convince of what. Those, if true, could be serious issues for the president going forward.
And that's Bloomberg News legal reporter Andrew Harris speaking with Bloomberg's Doom Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures on the rise, up 16 points this morning. Dow futures up 160. And NASDAQ futures are up 50. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. The euro at $1.1373. The British pound, $1.3238. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.